They say one of the things that helped Jimmy Carter into the White House is the fact that he, like about a third of all Americans, have had what is called a born-again experience. Well, believe it or not, 1976 was the year of the evangelicals. They claim that many, many more Americans are going through what is called a born-again experience. Have you wondered just what in the world really happened when President Jimmy Carter was born again? Just what do you mean? Born again.
The Garner Ted Armstrong Program. The Worldwide Church of God presents internationally known radio and television evangelist Garner Ted Armstrong.
You know, we all understand what the word born means. That's the process by which we came into the earth. We were all born. It means to be born, the process of birth. There is one word in the Greek language for the whole process, which has to do with conception, with the gradual development of the fetus, parturition, or the birth, and that is genao, G-E-N-N-A-O. Now, of course, the word genesis, gender, engender, finds the root of that word genao in our English language. Maybe if you had never heard the expression, born again, maybe if you weren't familiar with the idea that many millions of Americans have gone through a kind of an emotional experience, and you had never even heard it, and someone said, you must be born again, you know, you may have thought the same thing that a man who was a teacher or a ruler among the Jews thought when Jesus made a statement to him almost 2,000 years ago in the very same way. And he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now let's go back and find out exactly what Nicodemus thought, because he, like you, if you had never heard the term, you never understood the common usage today, you didn't know that pollsters and evangelicals have a completely different terminology, a completely different explanation for the words born again, you would probably think it means exactly what the word birth means to you, which is what Nicodemus thought. By the way, it was said in Newsweek magazine not long ago when the Gallup poll, which revealed about 50 million adult Americans had had what is called a born-again experience, they even came up with a new definition of the terms born again for poll purposes. I'd like to tell you what that is. It means to be converted or regenerated, a born-again Christian, for poll purposes, was generally defined as one who has had a dramatic conversion, accepts Jesus as his or her personal Savior, believes that the Bible is the authority for all doctrine, and feels an urgent duty to spread the faith. So there you have the pollster's version of what born again means. Well, that scripture is found in the third chapter of the book of John, one of the Gospels in the Bible. Take a look at it yourself. We'll show you on the home screen. It said in verse 3 that Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's ask, first of all, as we go through this brief passage, what it was that Jesus did not say. You will not see anything at all here in this passage about an emotional experience. You won't see anything at all about glossalia or speaking in tongues or other languages. You won't find anything at all about the word tarry. You won't see anything at all about leaping or jumping or falling over backwards or quivering in some emotional ecstatic feeling. You won't see anything but just the words we're going to read. They're in your Bible as well as mine. Why don't you go check it right there at home. Take a look. Nicodemus said, just like you would have if you had never heard the term born again, if you'd never been basically brainwashed by common misusage of a term which cannot be justified in biblical terminology, in the Bible definition of what it means to be born again, but has changed with the usage in the evangelical world. So to the evangelicals, born again means an experience. But what does it mean in the Bible? Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Interesting, isn't it? To Nicodemus, the word in the Greek language of genao, when Jesus used the word genao, you've got to be born again. The only usage he'd ever heard in his entire life was that which meant coming into the world, being born. And so he said, how can that happen when you're already old? You sure can't crawl into your mother's womb a second time. The point I'm trying to make is that this is the original. This is the most ancient record. This is the first time that anyone ever said to another human being, you've got to be born again. So this is the absolute original text of where it all began. So just let's ask this one question. What did Jesus mean when he said you must be born again? Now I know what evangelical types mean. They mean basically that you need to come to an emotional experience, which they call conversion. You either need to come forward at the end of the impassioned sermon at the time of the altar call while the orchestra is playing or the choir is singing Just As I Am and come forward to receive Christ, as they say. Let a counselor talk to you and have them hand out some literature. I think people can do that, as they say, as a result of a telecast or a broadcast. As a matter of fact, I've seen many newspaper ads and tracts that are handed out on street corners where people say all you've got to do is sign on the dotted line. And you are born again. Now, mind you, this is not to question the sincerity at all of any of these groups or any individual who believes he has been born again. Because the common usage of the term today is such that if you ask people for a definition, nearly all of them would tell you it means to receive Christ, accept Christ, or to be converted. Some groups would go on, some of the so-called charismatic movements, and tell you that such an experience must be or is usually accompanied by speaking in tongues. Now, what they mean by that is that in some groups, this tongues speaking, which you wouldn't understand, which is whether you call it a babble or a gibberish, because for lack of a better term, it's a lot of sounds, almost like they're pronouncing something in syllables, usually with repetitions here and there, but it is a non-language. It is the human language, the human tongue, rather, forming a lot of sounds hooked together in rather strange ways, a jargon, you might say, but no one understands it. And furthermore, no one can interpret it. Tongues speaking, or glossalia, as some have called it, is supposedly a physical manifestation of receiving the Spirit or of being born again. Some call it the Holy Ghost. To some groups, this speaking in tongues is the only proof or evidence that an actual born-again experience has occurred. And as a matter of fact, understand in some groups, it's almost like, let's say, the initiation ceremony, so to speak. It is the only evidence that you even have the Holy Ghost. Now, many Americans have gone through what is called tongue speaking. Others, in a process of remorse or public confession, by coming forward to an altar call given during an evangelical type of sermon or something, or responding via the mails, as I said, wishing to accept Christ as personal Savior, they say that this has brought about an experience that they call being born again. Now, today we have a president in the White House who says that he also has been born again. So I think we ought to understand exactly what the Bible says about just what do you mean, being born again?
Human life comes from a single pinpoint-sized egg cell. Beginning at conception, that cell grows, divides, and gradually develops into a small human being. The process by which the baby is delivered into the world is called birth. In speaking to a leading religious figure of his day, Christ referred to this process of human birth as an analogy to explain spiritual rebirth into God's family, saying you must be born again. Nicodemus wondered what Christ meant by the term born again. Today's religions have many various explanations. Just what did Jesus mean? A religious experience? Actually being reborn physically? Or what? This free booklet brings you the Bible answer to this intriguing question. It shows just what do you mean, born again? For your copy, dial direct 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
Wait for this booklet, Just What Do You Mean, Born Again? Or better yet, just pick up the telephone right now and dial the toll-free number 800-423-4444. In California, Alaska, or Hawaii, you should call area 213. The number is 577-5225. It's absolutely free of charge. The operators are waiting right now to take your call, and we'll have this booklet, Just What Do You Mean, Born Again, on the way in the mails to you. It's absolutely free of charge, and believe me, it's documented. It will go through not only what we're about to wade through here briefly on this program, but many, many other scriptures beside, especially on the first part of this text when Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to understand just what that is. What is the kingdom of God? A lot of people think it is something within you. Some say it's the British Empire. Some say it is in heaven. Some say it is a mood or a feeling or an emotion that you receive in some way. The Bible says quite differently from that, which the booklet will help you understand, that it's an actual literal kingdom with a literal king in a literal place with literal subjects, with literal laws by which those subjects are ruled, and you can come to understand that by writing, or better yet, calling for that free booklet. Back to what the Bible says. Nicodemus asked a question, which, understanding the fact that Nicodemus had never before even heard such a strange word, you must be born again, and he heard it in the Greek language, he is saying, how can this be possible? Now, Jesus had a great opportunity for saying something there, that he could have cleared up this mystery, he could have helped along the evangelical cause, it would have been a fantastic boon to all charismatics if Jesus had just said a few things which would have helped Nicodemus understand that Jesus wasn't really talking about a literal rebirth. Now, your birth is a beginning of life. Jesus is talking about a complete new life, a new beginning of life. Not turning over a new leaf, as I'll show you a little later, but a whole new process of entering into a new and a different life. What didn't Jesus say? Well, he didn't tell Nicodemus how long he had to tarry. He didn't tell Nicodemus that he had to speak in languages or tongues which can't be understood. He didn't tell Nicodemus it was an emotional experience. Here's what he did say. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what does he mean, born of water and of the Spirit? Well, the booklet will help you understand, as will an article coming along in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine entitled, Just What Do You Mean, Mr. President, Born Again? The Bible talks about baptism. It uses words like regeneration, justification, sanctification. It talks about the removal of past guilt. It gives you in Romans, the 6th chapter, an example of how baptism is a type of death, burial, and resurrection to begin to live a new and a different life. And the Bible shows that this process of being born again is a process that also is helped along by water in some way or another. Well, how did Jesus mean that? And he said, of the Spirit. And then he goes on to define exactly what he means about being born of the Spirit. But he says, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I remember long, long years ago, an elderly lady, and I'm sure this is nearly 20 years ago, so probably she's long since gone wherever it is that she thought she was going to go. Dead, I imagine. Anyway, she was a little old lady who all of her life had believed in the idea of being born again, as it is commonly assumed by millions of Americans today. And I remember just wading through this scripture because she wanted me to explain it to her. And I said, now, you were born of your physical parents, and your name is thus and such. And yes, that's right. And you are composed of bone and of tissue, sinew, of circulatory system, a skeletal and muscular system, a nervous system, digestive system. You are fleshly and physical. And the way that we preserve these physical lives is by breathing in and breathing out, by ingesting water and food. It's a chemical process. And we went around by the North Pole. And I asked her, I said, now take hold of my hand here, my wrist. I'm flesh. If I cut myself, I'm going to bleed. If I nick myself shaving like the ad says, I'm going to see blood come out of there. The way to keep myself alive is to keep that blood in there. Now, I was born of fleshly parents, and I am flesh. Flesh is what I'm composed of. It's what I am. And you are flesh, aren't you? She said, oh, yes. So I went on through this. Now, let's notice the next verse. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now I said, let's read a little further, because Jesus says, don't get disturbed or excited or marvel not, don't be perturbed about it. He said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, an old, old King James word that means where it wants to, wherever it is by caprice. The wind blows back and forth, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from, because you can't see the wind and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now Jesus says when a person is born of the Spirit, he's invisible. He is spirit, composed of the Spirit, I explained to her. So he becomes literally a spirit being. You have to read a little later on, after the resurrection, Jesus walked right through a wall. He was a spirit being. He said to the disciples, A spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have, proving that he was able to manifest himself as a human physical being without the blood in his veins. And yet, on the other hand, he also said that he had been born by a resurrection into a new and a different life. And he is called, believe it or not, in the Bible, and you'll read that in the booklet and the article, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the firstborn of many brethren. Do you know the Bible said that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born of the Spirit? That he is the firstborn of everybody? That this process that he's talking about with Nicodemus is a process through which he went. Now he said, marvel not that I said you must be born again. It's like the wind, it blows here and there, thither and yon. You can't tell where it came from or where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now I went back to the little old elder lady. I said, you were born of the flesh and you are flesh. She said, yes, I am. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, is composed of Spirit, becomes Spirit. Yes, that's true, she said. Now, I said, have you been born of the Spirit? Yes, praise the Lord. That's what she said. So I just let it go right then and there. I thought, well, that's fine. I sure didn't try to explain that scripture any further. That little lady was just as sincere as she could be. She had every right to that belief. I'm sure it was comforting for her. The fact is, it just was factually erroneous and wasn't exactly true. She hadn't been born of the Spirit. Now, I don't know. Maybe she had been begotten. The Greek word genao can mean born, begotten, and the whole process by which a human being comes into the world. And the Bible does use the term begotten in many cases. It talks about Jesus as the first begotten of the Father. And it also says he is the firstborn of many brethren. Because Jesus Christ had to have the preeminence in everything, he was not only the first begotten of God that had the Holy Spirit of God the Father without measure as he walked around on this earth, but he was the firstborn of many brethren and is the author and the captain of our salvation, the first in everything. So it does say very plainly, whether we can understand it because of past prejudices or because of the changing and wrong usage of certain English terms that tend to become perverted and totally sometimes the opposite of what they originally meant with wrong usage. Nevertheless, what Jesus said to Nicodemus was that if a person is born of the Spirit, they are Spirit. They are actually composed of Spirit. So when he said it's like the wind, you can see other examples in the Bible where fire, water, and the wind were used as typical of the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Well, because it was not an age of electricity or of nuclear power. Had it been, I'm sure Jesus would have used the example of electricity. It's a good example because electricity flows like a current. Even Jesus talked about flowing out from a person rivers of living water. So he likened the Holy Spirit unto rivers of living water. And when the Samaritan woman at the well, they were talking about drinking and so on, that's exactly what Jesus said. As a matter of fact, in the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 11, the woman asked Jesus what he meant by this living water, and Jesus gave an example of a wellspring of eternal life. He was showing that water is a life-giving essence that is found in three stages. It's a part of the environment, that our bodies are about 90-some percent water, that water can flow, but it flows along a riverbed. And it flows in a certain direction, trying to reach a mean level, always downhill. It acts in very strange ways. The very lowest compressible point is apparently about 29 degrees or so Fahrenheit. And either colder than that or above that, it begins to expand very greatly. So it can be found in a gas and a solid as well as in a liquid. So Jesus was very correct in using that life-giving essence of water, which seems to be living and active and which flows, which gives us a very life substance, as a type of the Holy Spirit, so people could understand heavenly or spiritual things by applying material and physical things which do exist. He never failed to use some material example, whether bread to eat, water to drink, a fruit tree that wasn't bearing fruit, a person that found a treasure in a field, some important event that occurred, such as a very sensational mass murder or something of the kind, to illustrate by some analogy or other a heavenly or a spiritual point. So when Nicodemus heard Jesus say this very strange thing, you've got to be born again before you can ever see the kingdom of God, he illustrated two very important points. One, the kingdom of God cannot be seen by human beings. And two, you've got to become something other than just a human being, born, as he said, of the water and of the Spirit, and then you will become spirit before you can enter into the kingdom of God. Believe it or not, Jesus meant exactly what he said when he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Plain Truth, the International Publication of Understanding. Plain Truth, information you need in today's changing society. Plain Truth, correspondents in all quarters of the globe report on current trends. For your free sample copy of the monthly Plain Truth magazine, call toll-free 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
If you'll write for the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, you'll get this article on Just What Do You Mean, Mr. President? Born Again, and find out what the Bible really says about 50 million Americans who have had a born-again experience. I don't question for one moment the fact that they have had an experience, a religious experience of deep significance to them. But surely these individuals, as well as others, would want to know exactly what the Bible says about it. What does born again really mean? Now, the Plain Truth magazine not only deals with this issue, but with many other subjects, the top of the news in the light of Bible prophecy, the energy crisis, the economic problems of this world, always from the point of view of what does Bible prophecy show? It's going to happen in the future to the United States, Britain, South Africa, Australia, Canada, those nations of the Western European area, as well as all of the rest of the world. The Plain Truth is yours, free of charge, no price, if you will call the toll-free number, 800-423-4444. Right now, the operators are sitting there waiting to take your call. We'll give you the address again just at the close of the program. You know, you often wonder, why do people believe in going to heaven? When Jesus said, no man hath ascended into heaven, we have done telecast after telecast on what I call biblical misconceptions. How people feel they know the Bible, they believe the Bible, they say the Bible is the basis for their doctrine, and yet it seems that they just read over it so lightly or read it almost not at all, or somehow they feel the Bible needs to be interpreted, that it should not interpret itself, but we read a statement of the Bible, and then what we're to believe is the exact opposite of what the Bible says. For example, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And almost all Christians believe, no, it is not. It is eternal life, but eternal life in a different place. So when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it doesn't mean death the way we think of death. Like when Rover, the dog who died, he died all over. Or when Auntie Jane dies, or Uncle Henry dies, or your loved ones die, or somebody dies in an automobile wreck, or somebody is murdered by a criminal. Then it's some other kind of death. It doesn't really mean death. It means wafting around, perhaps burning and blistering and so on for all eternity, or perhaps lolling around heaven all eternity long, plucking on a harp with your wings. Now, we have done program after program, wading through the Bible, showing the scriptures that say the most righteous man in the Old Testament, who is going to be a king of Israel, who wrote many, many books of the Bible, the Psalms, King David, the great hero of the kings of ancient Israel, is going to be in the kingdom of God as a king sitting over the nations of Israel. And yet how Peter said in the very first recorded sermon in all of history, in the book of Acts, the second chapter, that David is not ascended into the heavens. And I've shown how Jesus said, no man hath ascended into heaven, scripture after scripture after scripture, where the righteous are promised this earth as an inheritance. In Revelation 2:26 and 3:21, they are promised this earth, and it says the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, we've been all through that. Now, you can't reconcile the idea of a soul going up to heaven when you die with what I'm about to read, which is a resurrection of the dead. I'd just like to ask the question, look, if the Bible preaches and teaches a resurrection from the dead, which it does, most specifically and explicitly and over again, then how do you justify the idea of people who supposedly have been in heaven all of these years, maybe they died centuries ago. Take the first century Christians for an example. Those who knew Jesus, Peter, James, Paul, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, all these other men. And they died, and they were Christians. Now, did their souls go up there? Have they already been with the Lord all this time? Then why does the Bible talk about a resurrection of the dead? Are they going to take those souls right there in the beatific vision, put them back down into this corrupt old body, the long since totally disintegrated? You can't find anything left. All there is bone and so much dust now. Make them walk around again in a human physical form, then let them die all over again, or kill them, or do something with them, change them, and put them back in heaven. How do you understand that? I mean, it sort of boggles your mind when you stop to think about it. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, is called the resurrection chapter, and it says in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." Notice verse 41, where he talks about the glory of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and how one differs from another in glory. He said, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." It says in verse 45, calling Jesus the last man Adam, as opposed to the first man Adam, that he was made a quickening spirit. And it says in verse 49, "As we have borne the image of the earthy, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So we shall bear the image of the heavenly, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." This scripture, this chapter, shows exactly what Jesus meant in John the 3rd chapter. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. As Jesus said, they are born by a resurrection from the dead into a completely new makeup. This physical life, this physical body becomes a spiritual body, as it says in this chapter over and over again. It says in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Unless you be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus says, don't marvel at it. It's clear, it's plain. In the Bible, it really is. Write for this booklet, "Just What Do You Mean? Born Again." It's absolutely free of charge if you will dial a toll-free number, 800-423-4444. And while you're at it, request the current number of this Plain Truth magazine. We'll have up-to-the-moment articles on the news in the light of Bible prophecy coming along every single issue. And the current number with this article, "Just What Do You Mean, Mr. President? Born Again." 800-423-4444 in California, Alaska, and Hawaii. The number is area 213-577-5225. Or you can write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friend.
All literature offered on the Garner Ted Armstrong program is free upon request. Write Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Canadian viewers write Box 44, Vancouver, BC. In the continental United States, you may call this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. In California, call 213-577-5225. Be sure to watch Garner Ted Armstrong again next week at this same time.